What does it mean for your business when a pharma giant like Eli Lilly spends $7 billion on a technology that turns the patient's own body into a drug factory? This week, the abstract science of cell and gene therapy is getting very real, with major implications for manufacturing, logistics, and competition. Stay with us. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping U.S. and European industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a major inflection point in regenerative medicine. We've moved past the what-if stage. The headlines are now dominated by billion-dollar acquisitions, late-stage clinical trial results, and a massive push to solve the number one problem holding the industry back: manufacturing at scale.
Exactly. We're seeing a shift from pure R&D to industrialization. The focus is on the supply chain, quality control, and the core logistics of delivering these complex living medicines. For Western companies, this isn't just about biotech anymore. It's about automation, specialty materials, and services. This is where the new competitive advantages will be built.
Let's start there, Troy. We're hearing about incredible clinical progress. A recent report cites 115 clinical trials for pluripotent stem cell therapies, with over 1,200 patients treated. But what's the bottleneck that's stopping this from becoming mainstream?
The bottleneck is what Axiom, a biotech firm, calls the two major potholes: manufacturing scalability and quality control. Making a handful of doses in a lab is one thing. Reliably producing thousands of consistent, high-quality cell therapy treatments is an industrial-scale challenge.
So how is the industry solving this?
We're seeing the rise of specialized service providers. Take Kincell Bio, a U.S.-based contract development and manufacturing organization, or CDMO. They focus exclusively on allogeneic cell therapies, the off-the-shelf kind, made from a single donor to treat many patients. They build the robust, automated processes that therapy developers can't afford to build themselves.
So for U.S. and European manufacturers, what's the play here? Is this a threat or an opportunity?
It's both. The opportunity is enormous for companies that supply the tools, bioreactors, specialized cell culture media, analytical equipment for quality control, and automation software. The demand for these goods is skyrocketing. The threat is for the therapy developers themselves. If you don't have a clear, scalable manufacturing strategy, a competitor who partners with an expert CDMO like Kincell will beat you to market.
And for trading companies and distributors?
This is a golden era. But it requires specialization. You need to be sourcing and supplying the high-purity reagents and single-use components that go into these GMP-compliant manufacturing processes. The supply chain for cell therapy is complex and global. Reliability is paramount, so becoming a trusted supplier now is key.
So what's the actionable insight for an executive listening right now?
If you're in biotech, you must pressure test your manufacturing plan. Is it scalable and cost-effective? If not, you need to be talking to a CDMO yesterday. If you're in industrial technology or automation, you need to be asking how your products can be adapted for the unique demands of cell manufacturing. There's a massive new market opening up.
Now for the headline that caught my attention. On July 23rd, Eli Lilly announced it's acquiring Kelonia Therapeutics for a staggering $7 billion. What are they buying for that price?
They're buying a radical simplification of the entire cell therapy model. Kelonia's technology generates CAR T cells, cancer-fighting immune cells, directly inside the patient's body. They call it their in vivo gene placement system, or IGPS.
In vivo, meaning inside the body. How does that compare to how it's done now?
The conventional method is ex vivo. You have to extract a patient's T cells, ship them to a centralized manufacturing facility, genetically engineer them, multiply them, and then ship them back to the hospital for reinfusion. It's a logistical nightmare that is incredibly expensive and takes weeks.
So Kelonia's techs can sell that. You just inject the therapy?
Essentially, yes. It uses a lentiviral particle to deliver the genetic instructions directly to T cells in situ. This addresses the single biggest barrier to access for CAR T therapy: cost and complexity. This acquisition is a massive bet by Lilly that the future is in vivo.
This sounds incredibly disruptive for U.S. and European manufacturers who are currently building out those expensive cell processing facilities.
It's an existential threat to the ex vivo model. The manufacturing challenge pivots completely. Instead of building a cell factory, you need to be an expert in producing the delivery vehicle. In this case, the highly engineered viral vector.
This is a different kind of advanced biologics manufacturing, and Lilly is buying that expertise.
What about for trading and logistics companies? A lot of them have invested heavily in cryo-shipping and cold chain logistics for moving patient cells around the world.
Their market could shrink dramatically. The demand shifts from complex patient-specific cell logistics to more traditional distribution of an off-the-shelf injectable drug. The focus moves to sourcing the components for viral vector production, not transporting the cells themselves.
The actionable takeaway here seems pretty stark.
It is. If your business is built around the logistics or manufacturing of ex vivo cell therapies, you must have an in vivo strategy. You need to assess how your capabilities can be pivoted to the production and distribution of viral vectors and other gene delivery systems. Eli Lilly just put a $7 billion sign on the wall.
Beyond the big deals, it's the clinical data that ultimately matters. We saw two very different outcomes this week that paint a realistic picture of the risks. First, the good news from Novo Nordisk.
Yes, very significant news for neurodegenerative disease. Novo Nordisk published 12-month data in Nature Medicine from their phase 1/2 trial for Parkinson's disease. They transplanted embryonic stem cell-derived dopaminergic cells into patients' brains.
And the results?
The key findings were a favorable safety profile and feasibility. This means the procedure was well-tolerated and the cells successfully engrafted without major adverse events. It's a crucial first step toward a therapy that could potentially replace the neurons lost in Parkinson's rather than just managing symptoms.
That's the hope, but on the flip side, we saw a major failure from Coven tissue gene.
Correct. Their cell and gene therapy, TGC, failed its phase 3 trial for knee osteoarthritis. It showed no significant improvement in pain or function compared to a placebo after 12 months. This is a huge setback for a therapy that was aiming to be a disease-modifying drug for a massive market.
So what does this contrast, a win in a complex brain disease and a loss in a common joint condition, tell U.S. and European manufacturers?
It underscores the immense risk in this sector. You can invest millions in a manufacturing process for a specific cell therapy, only for it to fail in a late-stage trial. Your entire specialized setup becomes worthless overnight. It means manufacturing systems need to be as flexible as possible, perhaps capable of handling different cell types, to mitigate the risk of any single clinical failure.
And for trading companies and distributors in the supply chain.
The volatility is just as high. A success like Novo Nordisk's creates instant high-value demand for the specific reagents, media, and equipment used in their validated process. A failure like Colon's erases that potential market completely. Distributors cannot be dependent on a single therapeutic candidate. Diversification across different therapeutic approaches and disease areas is the only sound strategy.
What should executives be doing in response to this clinical volatility?
You must conduct rigorous due diligence not just on your partner's technology, but on the clinical and biological plausibility of their approach, and build risk models into your supply chain and manufacturing investments. Don't bet the farm on a single phase 3 trial outcome. Seek out platform technologies that have broader applications across the regenerative medicine space.
Troy, let's bring it all together. A lot of moving parts this week. What are the key strategic takeaways for our listeners in the U.S. and Europe?
I see 3 critical points. First, the industrialization of cell therapy is underway. The primary competitive battleground is shifting from the lab to the factory floor. The biggest opportunities now lie in solving the challenges of scalable manufacturing, automation, and quality control. This is a direct call to action for America's and Europe's high-tech manufacturing sectors.
Second,
the in vivo paradigm shift is coming. Eli Lilly's $7 billion acquisition is a clear signal that the industry is aggressively seeking to eliminate the complexity of external cell processing. Companies invested in the current ex vivo supply chain must develop a strategy for this future or risk being made obsolete.
And finally, the third takeaway.
Finally, clinical risk is and will remain extremely high. The stark contrast between Novo Nordisk's success and Colon's failure is a reminder of the binary outcomes in this field. This reality demands robust risk management. For manufacturers and distributors, this means prioritizing flexibility, diversification, and platform technologies over committing to a single high-risk therapeutic candidate.
The science is accelerating, and the business models are being forged in real time. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Troy, thank you.
My pleasure.
Join us again next week for Troy Technical Intelligence for the insights you need to stay ahead.
Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a briefing.